Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Singing for Your Soul radio show. Happy New Year, everyone. I hope that 2016 is going to be an absolutely amazing year for all of us. I'm your host, Kimberly Harrison, and we're on the Singing for Your Soul radio show. And we're all about living lives in which our voices and souls sing. That's what this show is about, and that's what I really focus on in my own life and in my work with clients. And we're looking at whether, you know, whether it's sounding better in singing and speaking or feeling more self-confident and self-expressed and sharing our authentic voices with the world, or whether we're living lifestyles that support our creativity and our abundance and our health and wellness. There are just so many things that go into, quote-unquote, voice work. So it's really life work. And in fact, I recently was doing a Skype session with a client, and she blurted out something that was so eloquent and so perfectly descriptive. So I made her stop. I just said, whoa, we have to stop right now. I really want to write that down. And we tried to recreate her words, and this is basically what she said. She said, this is so much more than singing class. This is life class. It's our exploration of how to interconnect our finite human nature with our infinite spiritual nature through our voices and sound and vibration. It's deep, soulful deliciousness like chocolate. I love that last line. It really does feel like chocolate. When we start to really ease in to our voices being fully expressed in all areas of our lives. So I told her I was going to hire her to write copy for me. It's really, what she's getting at is it's all about the space and the shifts that we create when we come together to do conscious voice work. So we have a great show for you today. And before I introduce you to our most illustrious guest, I just want to give you a heads up that I'm actually broadcasting live today from our little music studio. My partner Marvin and I built this little studio when we moved to Michigan, because we wanted to have a place that we could practice and create music in nature. And it's a very humble little place. There's no electricity, and we haven't insulated it yet. So I'm mentioning this because I've got a fire going. You may be able to hear it crackling. It's really kind of roaring right now. And I just may need to pause a couple of times during the show to put a new log on the fire. It's actually not too cold outside today, but it is winter in Michigan, and I just want to keep it toasty. So, let me introduce you to our guest. Today, we have Justin Michael Williams with us, and it's just going to be so fun talking with him. Actually, I just got a text message from him. I'm on here, but on hold or something. Okay. Justin, don't worry. I'm going to bring you on in a second. So, he's a vibrant public speaker. He's a yogi and a successful entrepreneur who travels the globe doing trainings to help people find their authentic voice and really share it with the world. He's also an amazing singer and songwriter, and in November 2015, he released his first single, Here With Me, and he also has a music video and an album on the way, and I personally can't wait to experience them. So Justin and I met in L.A. when he came to prepare for a last-minute performance opportunity that had come up with a prominent kirtan artist in Los Angeles, and he had just a few weeks to prep. We got to know each other very quickly. I loved him immediately, and I've been so grateful that we've gotten to know one another. We actually then ended up working together when he invited me to partner with him to create a program that was part of a bigger training that he's doing with Yoga Journal. And our portion of the program is called Finding Your Signature Voice. So as you can tell, we both love to talk about this stuff. So let's get to it. Justin, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello, Kimberly. I'm so excited to be here.
It's so great to have you. Welcome.
Thank you.
So, Justin, I would love to just jump in. I tried to give a backstory about how we know each other so people kind of have an idea of who you are, and I would love to have you share your story with us to start.
Absolutely. So, you know, I love that. I'll say first that thank you for having me, Kimberly. This is such an honor always to be able to share in this kind of a space where the conversation is open on both ends to talk about practical application along with the spiritual and mental and emotional connection to all of it. You know, and it's not so often that I feel like this space is opened up, especially for artists to really discuss the ways that our voices and our confidence and our authenticity and stuff are so intermingled with our spiritual life and our personal growth. And so I think that it's so amazing to be here, and I'm honored to be able to share it in this way. So thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, so the story, anyway, the story here, you know, ever since I was a little kid, I've always loved singing. I've always loved singing. And you know, you guys, everybody listening, you may have heard of this woman. She's kind of famous, maybe a little bit. You might have heard of her name. Her name's Mariah Carey. I think some people might have heard of her. So, you know, ever since I was a little kid, Mariah Carey actually almost ruined my entire life. And I'm going to tell you how. People always laugh when I say this part. But no, I mean, really, honestly, when I was a little kid, I loved singing and dancing and performing for as long as I could remember. From the first moments that I can remember in my life, like singing and dancing and performing have been really just pressing through me. And so when I was a little kid for my mom's birthday, we planned this huge performance, me and my little sister at the time, I was about 6 or 7 years old. And we planned this huge performance for my mom's birthday. And I have a huge family, just a really, really big family. And, you know, to give you a perspective on my family, I grew up in a very traditionally Catholic family. Like the boys played football and basketball and baseball, and the girls played, you know, were cheerleaders and did dance and ballet and all that kind of stuff. And just to show you how that really turned out for my parents, I'm now recording an album, and my sister was just in college for a softball scholarship. So that really flipped in some dramatic ways. So, you know, from that point, we plan this huge performance. We get out there, we're getting ready to go. And of course, the performance is to a couple Mariah Carey songs. Who was, you know, one of my favorite artists and one of the first artists that I can actually really remember connecting to. It was the first CD when CDs came out. It was the first CD that I ever bought was a Mariah Carey CD. And so we play this huge performance. We get up, we turn around like little kids. We have everybody in the house sitting down. There's like 30 people. We get up and we start the show. And, you know, we start the first line of the song that some of you guys might know. Oh, when you walk by every night, talking sweet and looking fine. And that was about as far in that song as we got, because the moment we began, my stepdad jumped out of his chair, picked me up, grabbed me, took me in my room, slammed the door, put me down and said, "You will never do that shit again." I don't know if I'm allowed to say that word on the air. Sorry.
No.
You will never do that again. Little boys don't do that. Little boys do not do that. And it was in that moment that I knew right away that something was wrong with me. It was in that moment that my authenticity got shut down, you know, and it wasn't just my voice, but my authenticity. Like I had spent weeks and weeks, you know, we did costumes, we did the whole thing. And I just remember being so excited, you know, and in that moment, I knew something about who I authentically was, something about what made me tick authentically as a person was not okay. And so, you know, for years, I shut my voice down for many, many years. You know, there were many other things that happened, you know, after that. But I think that was one of the most illustrative stories to show what happened. And, you know, I spent time dabbling in and out of singing and constantly giving up and constantly stopping as soon as I got the tiniest bit of criticism, just the tiniest, littlest moment of criticism. It shut me all the way back down. You know, I couldn't take it. And so, Yeah, and now, you know, it's amazing. I've worked really hard and lots of personal work and lots of voice therapy and lots of emotional therapy and all these things that we have to go through to get through things in our lives, you know, and we've all been there. Everybody listening, I'm sure we've all been in places, whether it's this kind of situation or something else, but where somebody says something to you that makes you feel like you're not good enough. Where somebody says something to you that makes you feel like you have to limit yourself or limit your power or limit your authenticity or put a cap over your gifts. And even though that person who said this one thing might be totally gone and out of your life, like my stepdad is, the voices are still ingrained in our own heads and we continue to tell ourselves these things over and over. You know, we've all been there. And anyway, with all this work, though, it's been such a gift that I've been around so many teachers and found so many great books and these things. But now I'm in a place where, you know, just last year, like 6 months ago, I finished recording my first album. I put out my first single, which I think everybody's going to be able to hear a little bit later on this show. And, you know, have been putting out a video and I'm actually stepping into this, but it's not without, you know, fear continuing to pop up, you know, and me continuing to want to self-sabotage. But now I at least have the tools and the awareness to not let that happen. So that's kind of the, you know, the nutshell of the story of how this is all coming to play out.
Wow. That is so, it's just powerful. And you are speaking to basically the mortal wounding that happens to all of us. It happens to every single one of us. It looks different in all of our lives, but it tends to happen when we're very young, and then we live our lives without realizing it because we don't have the tools. We don't know at that age. We end up living our lives based on this reality that somebody else sort of created for us that shut down our authenticity. And a big part of our life journey is how we work through that and reclaim our childhood innocence with more wisdom in the mix. With more of our adult wisdom in the mix, but reclaiming that innocent child within so that we can move forward and create and be successful. So you're bringing up so many things, you know, the things that were stopping you as you went along. Any teeny tiny bit of criticism would shut you down.
Right.
So what was it? I know you mentioned doing a lot of inner work. What were some of the things that you have done that have allowed you to move past those fears that keep cropping up that stopped you before?
Yeah, there are lots of little things, and I think I can get into a lot of them, but there was one big moment for me that is, I could say, the single moment that made me change over. And for me, so my grandmother, I grew up very, very, very close to my grandmother. She was like my second mom. And my mom is, I'm also very close to my mom as well. But my grandmother and I were so close, just very, very close. And one day, about 3 years ago, she got a phone call from her doctor telling her that she had stage 4 cancer and had 3 months to live. And 67 years old, very healthy, very active. Like, we were hiking the week prior together. And we're super close. And she got this call saying that this was it. You know, she had a few months left, and it shook our entire family. You know, and I had such a full relationship with her, and we talked, you know, almost every other day or so on the phone. And, you know, I went to go see her. And she asked me, one of the first questions that she asked me in that moment, she said, if you knew you were going to die in 3 months, what would you do? And I just, like, without even hesitating, there wasn't even a moment of hesitation between her asking me this question and my answer, I just said, I would stop everything that I'm doing and I would record an album. That was the first words that came out of my mouth. And she said, well, then what the hell are you doing? And she just made me promise her that I would do it. And she said, you said that so quick, you know, and you're not doing this. And she said, not right now, they're telling me I have 3 months, which, you know, she ended up being around for 9 more months. But she said, we don't know. You don't know. This tomorrow could be it for you, you know? And just because the doctors are telling me this, it's making it more real. But this is happening for all of us. And what are you doing? If you know that this is what you want to do, what are you doing? And, you know, it was in that moment that I started to really, really, you know, it's 3 years later that it's now done, but that I started to actually go, okay, what are the steps? What are the steps that I need to take? What are the things that I really need to break through? What's stopping me? Because I've wanted this since I was a child. This is has been my dream forever, you know, and it's never gone away, no matter how long or you know, how many degrees I've gotten from college and other things, or how many things I've done to try and push it away. It's never gone away. And so how to make that happen. So it was really this moment in particular that kind of set me on the path to start trying to make this dream a reality.
Beautiful and heart-wrenching, all wrapped into one.
Yeah.
And so often it comes to that, you know, life and death cause us to examine what we are doing. And you listened and you made a change.
Yeah.
And it does take time. Yeah. I think that's important to note. You know, it didn't happen immediately. It wasn't 3 months later that you had this album finished. It's 3 years later that you're getting ready to launch all of this. But the creative process takes time. And the healing process that you were going through takes time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you stuck with it through that whole process.
Yes. No, absolutely. And I mean, there's so much work to be done. But, you know, I'm a true believer that, you know, Kimberly, just to put this into perspective, and I don't even know if I've told you the story in this way, but it was after that that I started reading, I started doing the work, I started singing kirtan, that then I got the opportunity to sing in that kirtan with Dave Stringer, and then met you. That's how it was, like 6 months after that I met you.
Wow.
That story, you know, that she passed away. And so it's what I really believe is that when we commit, so what happened in that moment with my grandmother, you know, and hopefully it doesn't take something this strong to make us commit,
right.
But in that moment, I said yes. I didn't say maybe, I hope so, one day. In that moment, I said yes. And it was a real yes. It wasn't a yes, but if, and or yes, but when, and yes, after I'm ready. It wasn't that. It was yes. And I don't know how, and I don't know when, and I don't know why, and I don't know where, but yes. And when we say yes, when we make that commitment to ourselves and actually commit, that's when the entire universe starts to conspire to put opportunities in front of us to take us to every next step that we need. Every step has shown up for me right as I was taking the step. It was like that image of the road appearing for you as you're stepping, you know. But the way that I truly feel about this is that the universe is not going to give you the road unless you're taking the step, you know? And so you have to be committed to taking those steps and getting yourself ready. And a lot of times, one of the things that people always ask me is how do you, you know, get confident enough to do this? How did you get confident enough to take these steps, to go on stage? You know, my first performance ever was at Boxy Fest at a kirtan in front of 5,000 people. You know, that was
my first
performance, yeah, that Kimberly was helping me with. And it's like, how do you get the confidence? And I say, I didn't have the confidence, you know, but I took the step. You commit first, right? You commit first.
And I remember us having those conversations. And
you
did it. You just stepped into it. And that's the only way we ever, that's how that road appears, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a great Pablo Picasso quote, something along the lines of, inspiration exists, but it must find us working.
I love that.
Yes.
I love that. Oh, my God, that's great.
So,
yeah, it must find us working.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It must find us working. And work, work, I probably in the past would have resisted that quote because of the heaviness of the word work. But what work means to me now is that we are being alive, that we are doing the best every moment to live the best version of who we are and to unfold ourselves and evolve. That's what work is. And it means that we're taking work steps, but it means that we're doing that inner work as well. So
yeah.
So there are some things that you had mentioned, really important points when we spoke yesterday. Let's talk about sacrifice. Let's back up, actually, because I want to talk about some of the things that happened. You said that things, every step showed up along the way for you
yeah.
to help make this a reality. Can you talk about some of those things first?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, God, there were so many things that showed up that I was just like, what? You know, how? Why? It's amazing. And really? You want me to do this now? For real? I'm not ready. You know, but again, like I said, the confidence shows up once you commit. Once you've actually said yes, like a real yes, I'm doing it no matter what, then you get yourself confident enough to do it. That's usually the way it works, you know, then you get the support you need because you've said yes. So, I mean, for me, basically what happened, you know, that there's so many, but I'll just go through a few of the big milestones. So random, but okay. So I got this moment to sing with Dave Stringer at Bhakti Fest, huge kirtan. I was right by his side. I did it three times actually. And it was incredible. So, you know, that leads me, that was a piece of the road that showed up as I was taking a step. Then I got this opportunity from somebody who heard me singing at Bhakti Fest and said, hey, I had no idea you could sing like that. I'm a producer. I want to record a song for you. And so then I needed to record my first original song. Well, I didn't play any instruments, nor have I ever wrote a song, you know? So I said, okay, what do I need to do? So I start learning guitar and learning harmonium, and I write and record this song. So that gave me this experience of, I actually ended up doing 3 songs of going into the studio and getting the experience of being in the studio environment and what that means. It was very safe and it was very comfortable and low risk, and I wasn't really paying very much for it. It showed up. And, you know, I'll fast forward a couple years later, the things that really happened, and I ended up not recording a kirtan album at all. It's an English album, kind of a alternative pop album. And basically what happened is I decided to move to New York City a little over a year and a half ago. And I moved to New York just to try out some different things. I met this woman named Sadie Nardini. She's actually a pretty powerful yoga teacher, and we know each other. We met through the yoga world. And I was letting her know, hey, I'm subletting. This is how the universe works, and you can never plan for it and never imagine. So I tell her, hey, I'm subletting apartments in New York, you know, all around the city right now while I'm just moving here to figure out where I want to be. She's like, oh, my gosh, I'm going out of town for a month and a half. Why don't you stay at my place? And I just met – this was the day I met her. We didn't even know each other. And, you know, talking to her about it later, she was like, I don't even know why I did that. Like, why – I don't even know you. And – but it was this cycle that led me to this moment of putting out a full album today. And so she said, stay at my place. I said, okay. So I go stay at her place. We have lunch, you know, right before I get her keys. And I'm like, where are you going? She said, I've always wanted to do music, and I got this amazing opportunity. I'm going to LA to record an album with these amazing producers that I met and this, that, and the other. And I've been working with them for a couple of years, and I'm finally ready and I'm going. So she's in LA recording her album. And she starts sending me some tracks, some of the tracks that they were working on that were coming through. And there were one of them that I loved so much. I just loved this song so much. I was listening to it over and over. It's called Blood Moon is her song. Mm. It's actually out right now. You can look for it online, Blood Moon by Sadie Nardini. And I'm listening to the song, and I'm in her house in the morning, and I go in her bathroom, and I just record a voice memo of me singing her song. And it was so casual. I just was sitting there in her bathroom, and I pushed record on my phone, and I said, Sadie, I love your song so much. I just want to show you how much I love it. Here we go. So I sing the first verse and the chorus. She gets it. She's in the studio with her producers. she plays it on her speaker and goes, oh my God, look, one of my friends just sent a cover of our song that's not even out yet. And they said, who is he? We need to talk to him.
Oh my gosh.
And it was that moment, a week later, I had a contract to record a full-length album with them. That's how it all happened. And, you know, people say, like I was saying earlier, when we say yes, when we commit, and when we get ourselves ready, and this is when I think, you know, the quote that you said, it was Picasso, you said it was the quote?
Yes.
About doing, we have to be working, is because I was, for the last 3 years, getting myself ready, I was doing voice lessons, I was learning guitar, I was taking songwriting classes, I was in the studio, I was doing the self-work. I was getting myself ready for this opportunity that I didn't even know existed yet. Then the universe goes, hey, boom, there you go. And because I was getting myself ready, I could say yes, because I was ready, you know? And I could have never in a million years orchestrated or planned for any of that to happen. And so this is kind of the road showing up. And so, you know, I ended up coming back to LA, recording the album. It came out more amazing than I could have ever imagined, and I'm super excited to share one of the songs with you guys today. But I share that story, you know, not to just kind of blah, blah, blah about my story, but to illustrate the power of the teachings that we all know in practice. We say these things so much. The universe shows up. If we do the work, if we prepare ourselves, you know, it does. It really does. But you have to really show up, like Picasso said, working. You have to do it.
Yes. Yes, and you have to see through some of the universe and life are, they can be tough taskmasters, and they can give us lessons in really difficult ways. And we have to, I think one of the big jobs we have through all of that is to stay open and to keep moving forward and to keep listening for the next step. And I think that's something that you do really, really well, because those things, there was a lot of time. I mean, we hear the story, and this tends to happen when we hear people's stories. It's like, oh, my gosh, that's so amazing. That happened, and that happened, and that happened, boom. But what we're not hearing and we're not experiencing is all the time in between all of these things happening where you were putting your foot to the pavement.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, this is 3 years, you know, we're talking of constant work. And constant, why the hell am I doing this? What's going on? What am I spending my money on this for? I'm not good enough for this. I'm too old for this. I should have done this when I was younger. You know, all those thoughts, they're all there. Mm-hmm. And the work every day, you know, but it's that trusting and knowing that this work is going to, you know, the fruits of this work will come through when the moment is ready and when it's right.
Yes. And now that you've said that, I feel like that's a perfect segue into listening to the fruits of your work, which is
great.
How's that?
Sure.
So let's go ahead and cue that up, and we'll have a listen to Here With Me, Justin Michael Williams.
Taking me.
Justin? Oh my gosh. I kind of just want to sit in the silence of the aftermath of it.
Yeah, no, I love it. Every time I hear it, I'm just like, wow, I can't. And, you know, the song, which people might know after hearing the story, is actually a song that I wrote about my grandmother. You know, that was something that ended up happening when we were in the studio. I just felt really strongly called to write a song about her and wishing she was here to see all of this, you know, that was happening from this promise that I made. And it ended up being the first single, which is such a blessing and such a gift. So,
and so perfectly in alignment with the way the album came to be in the first place. That's a really, really poignant story.
Thank you.
I feel like all the listeners now have a much deeper awareness of where this music came from.
Yeah.
So how does it feel to listen to your creation take shape in this way? What's that feeling for you?
Yeah, it feels still a little bit surreal, honestly. but I think that the main thing in terms of this song in particular that has really taken me, and it's the inspiration behind the video, which is coming out pretty soon as well, is that from this moment, which was honestly up until now in my life, it was the darkest moment in my life, you know, the passing of my grandmother, and that whole experience, that whole from beginning to end was just miserable, you know, and even afterwards, and just so terrible. And that when looked at from a different angle, the darkest moment of my life could at the same time become the greatest gift of my entire life. And usually this is the way that it actually is for us, always. But it takes us shifting our perspective and shifting our awareness to say, the universe is never, ever giving me more than I can handle. You know, if we can trust that, if we can trust that we're always given exactly the situations and the moments that we need, and we can really believe that, then we are allowed to get out of victimhood and say, what is trying to be shown to me through this situation? What is it that is trying to press through? What am I supposed to learn? What am I supposed to do? How can I become stronger from this situation? And, you know, when we get it, usually the situation opens up. You know, and in this case, for me, it really turned into one of the biggest gifts of my entire life. So, you know, I think that's what I'm always in reflection about every time I'm listening to this song.
Oh, I love how you said all of that. I love it.
Thank you.
It's so true. Those moments of pain can become our greatest moments. Yeah. It's like being refined in the refiner's fire. You know, that's what life does to us, or being pressed like diamonds have incredible amounts of pressure put on them, and the ones that can withstand the pressure the best are the ones that become the most beautiful diamonds from the coal.
Right.
So it's that timeless tale of life.
Yeah, that's what we call life.
Of that thing we call life. So let's talk about sacrifice. I had brought that up earlier, about being able to sacrifice what you need in order to make your dream a reality.
This is a big topic. So
I know, you know, we could talk for the rest of the time.
Sacrifice is such a big one. So it's necessary. I recently started saying this quote that just kind of came to me. Sacrifice is best friends with evolution.
Ooh.
Right? Sacrifice is best friends with evolution. Actually, as as profound as that sounds, like I came up with it in an Instagram caption. I was writing it. So, you know, but that's where it came to me. But I, it was actually in this time. So I'll say it in a moment that doesn't seem so profound, but in the actual like living of it all. So the day, 2 days before Christmas, 2 days before Christmas, I recorded my music video. And, you know, when you see the video, you'll understand, but I'm wearing very, very, very little clothing, and not so much in a sexual way, but just in, you know, I was doing a modern kind of dance in the video, and I'm not a dancer. And so I had to learn, and I was rehearsing for like 2 months, you know, a couple hours a day, learning this dance and doing all these things. And I was on this diet for the video so that I can really honor it and look, and not just look, but really feel my best, being that I was going to be in front of a camera, frozen in time for the rest of my life, with, you know, tiny little shorts on. And I just wanted to feel totally in my power. And so, you know, I was on this kind of a cleansing diet and doing all these rehearsals through the holiday season. You know, and I think on Instagram, I had wrote this caption where it was a Friday night. And I said, tonight, the week before Christmas, there are no holiday parties for me. There's no going out and drinking champagne. There's no festivities, even though I love this season so much. I am in the dance studio at 10 p.m. Rehearsing. And then I said, sacrifice is best friends with evolution. And it's that, it's those little moments of sacrifice, of letting something go for your long-term benefit, that we experience great transformation in our lives. And even just by making that decision, like, you know, I'm in Los Angeles, the amount of holiday parties and things that I was invited to and was able to attend that I could have very easily said yes to and gone to and had a great time, but at the sacrifice of my vision, at the sacrifice of my vision for who I was going to be at this video shoot. And that is just one simple example of the many sacrifices we have to make. So the way that I like to think of sacrifice is when we are letting go of something for to gain something that's a long-term benefit for ourselves, or maybe it's not even long term, but just something that's better for us. We're sacrificing the short term pleasure for the long term gain. And this is what sacrifice is all about. And, you know, my business partner in the business of yoga, Karen Moses, she actually explains this really well. I just want to quote her pretty much on this because the way she teaches it, I've never heard anybody else say it. She says, there is a big difference between sacrifice and compromise, but a lot of times people think it's the same thing. And she says, you know, sacrifice, or I'll say this first, compromise is when, you know, you're in a relationship with somebody and they want, you know, they want something and you want something else, and you're shutting down what you really want to compromise for someone else. You know, in any situation. So you are actually muting your authentic self to let somebody else's preference take over, to let another situation take over. You're muting your real self. And that's what she describes as compromise, where sacrifice is, I am willingly giving up this part of me for this moment, or for now, or for my life, to allow space for something greater. So it's not that I'm muting something that I really want. It's I am letting go of something that is not serving me right now in this time so that I can make space and make room for something greater. And I think that's really the key here. Sacrifice for me in this time has been making the time and space in my life to let this dream become a reality. And honestly, I've sacrificed so much. I mean, I have let go of half of my, you know, I had a marketing business that I still do, but was doing very full time before this. And I was working like 10, 12 hours a day. Well, I can't work 10, 12 hours a day and then also work 10 hours on music a day. So right. I had to, you know, I let go of half of my marketing business literally let it go. And that was very hard for me. I've been building it for 8 years, you know, and with half of that work went half of my income, you know. And but from that, I'm not looking at it as, oh no, like I just let go of so much money and all this time. I said, no, I just gained all of this time to be able to focus on my craft and give this music the life it deserved. And yes, did that mean I needed to move into a smaller apartment? Yes. You know, but at what gain? Yes. Did that mean I had to stop working out at Equinox because it costs $300 a month? Yes. Did it mean that I had to stop doing, you know, all of these specific things? I sacrificed those things, but it didn't feel like a compromise because I was gaining something so much greater. And so that is kind of the, you know, my story around sacrifice, and it's required for our evolution. We have to let go of things to make space for something greater.
I could not have said that better. That was gorgeous. Gorgeous. You know, the image that was coming to me as you talked was when you're working out or when you're doing yoga and you get into positions where you're shaking. And that, to me, is the moment where the sacrifice is made.
Mm-hmm.
And it's doing something. It's literally working internal muscles within us. And if we stick with it, those muscles start to stick. They start to be strong. They start to be able to stick that handstand or hold that pose for a longer period of time without shaking. That's
yep.
literally what happens to us when and we become, and that's how that evolution happens.
Yeah.
But I just love how you clarified the difference between compromise and sacrifice. So
no, this
you.
Is it. And we're so lucky that we have this practice. And, you know, something that just hit me, I wasn't even planning to talk about this, but if you don't mind, there's something that just like
no.
intuitive hit that just came through. So, you know, I was talking to one of my good friends, Jennifer Lane, the other day. She's a great yoga teacher in San Francisco. And she's a writer. And we were talking about writing. And she was talking about the fact that she was like, I don't, you know, we were talking about how I'd done this with music and had created all this time, even though I was the busiest person that she knew and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And she was like, I really have this book that I want to write. And she's just such an incredible writer. And she said, but I just don't have time to write. And then we continue on the conversation. And she's like, you know, I meditate 30 minutes in the morning, and then I meditate 30 minutes in the afternoon. And then I have my yoga practice in the middle of the day. And I paused and I said, hold on. I said, so you're telling me that you meditate for an hour a day and you do a yoga class every day. So an hour and a half, so 90 minutes. So we're talking 2.5 hours. Every single day that you're spending on your practice. And I said, what's the purpose of your practice? You know, why are you practicing? Like, other than the health part, like, why are you meditating in the first place? And there's this fine line that we have to be really careful of. Like, we are so lucky that we have a spiritual practice because it gives us the awareness that we need to shine the light of awareness where it needs to be shined, to make transformations and changes in our lives. But I looked at her and I said, hey, you have 2.5 hours a day to practice yoga. What if you take 30 of those minutes to write?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if you cut your meditations into 2 15-minute meditations? And she, you know, for a second, we kind of, she looked at me, she's like, whoa, you know, but it's my meditation practice. But it's my meditation practice. And I'm like, yeah, but aren't you meditating just so you can build up the power to write? Like,
and aren't you also meditating when you write?
Yes, exactly. And aren't you also meditating when you write? You know, and this was a big, I think the thing that we have to be very careful of is, and this was along with the Picasso quote, I think that you, I think has just been wrapping this conversation up for me, is yes, we have to do spiritual work. Yes, we have to practice. Yes, we have to do our internal dialogue. Yes, we have to continue growing. And if you're a singer and you're not singing, you're not doing the work.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a singer and you're meditating and writing and praying about singing, but not singing, you're not doing it. you know? And so we fool ourselves a lot into thinking, mm-hmm. like, I did this yoga practice, I did this, I did that, I did this, I went to therapy, all to help me, you know, be a writer. And then you're spending an hour a week writing, then mm-hmm. there's that internal work is actually becoming part of your resistance to it. And so we have to see how we can actually show up and continue to sit down and do the work alongside our internal growth and our practice, which I think is a really important point to bring up. Sorry for that little rant, but it just came.
Don't know. That was needed. I think we all need to hear that, because there are areas in our lives that, especially with when you're doing a spiritual practice, sometimes that can get in the way of giving us the time to actually, I mean, it's opening up the space within us, but if we're not doing the thing that we're doing the thing for the practice that we're doing the practice for, then we're missing the boat. Mm-hmm. So that was a really good way of saying that. I forgot. I need to pause for a sec. I really almost don't want to pause, but I'm just going to do some announcements really quickly.
Great.
And
go for it.
We'll finish up our conversation. So just jumping quickly to announcements, everybody. I teach voice lessons worldwide online via Skype. I'm on faculty as a voice teacher at the Jackson Symphony Orchestra Music School for those who are in Jackson, Michigan. And I teach privately in Brooklyn, Michigan as well. And I offer private voice lessons, voice classes, meditative voice workshops for professionals, especially those in the conscious community, such as yoga, teacher trainings, and sound healing performances with voice, harp, Tibetan bowls, and frame drum. I'm currently offering a voice class series where we're exploring our voices as windows to our souls and portals to the divine. And the series will resume very soon at Corinthians Church in Jackson, Michigan. Dates and times to be announced. This is an amazing group of people, by the way, if anybody's interested in Corinthians Church in Jackson. I just absolutely love it there. To stay in touch, you can join the mailing list at singingforyoursoul.com. And when you do that, you'll also receive a free copy of my ebook, 6 Tips to Skyrocket Your Speaking, Singing, and Self-Confidence. I'm also on Facebook at facebook.com/singingforyoursoul. And if you're interested in voice lessons or classes, if you'd like to schedule a workshop or performance, or to donate to support our recording and performing efforts at Singing for Your Soul, please send an email to info@singingforyoursoul.com, or you can call 310-439-9862. Now, while we're at those announcements, let's talk about your special gift for listeners today.
Oh, yeah. So first of all, you guys, take Kimberly up on this offer. She's an amazing voice coach. I mean, just so amazing. She was one of my first. And trust me when I say, if you guys are thinking about it, if your intuition is just hitting on you to say, should I do this? I've been thinking about it. This is the time. This is the time to say yes. So there's that. And I also want to offer everybody listening, I'm so excited to be able to do this, to offer you all a free download to the song that you heard, Here With Me, which is my first single. It's very easy for you to get the free download. All you have to do is go to justinmusicnow.com. That's justinmusicnow.com. And when you go to there, you'll just go in, click listen now, and boom, you'll put in your email address and get the download right away. And I promise I don't send you a bunch of spam or anything like that. You just get the download, and my hope is that you can just enjoy that song. So again, it's justinmusicnow.com.
Yay! I already did it.
Yay!
So I can listen whenever I want. I love it. It's on my phone, and it will have even more meaning now for me now that we've talked about the actual story behind the song.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So can we briefly, first of all, thank you, Justin, for that gift for our listeners. I just think that's great. And can you jump in? We have a few minutes left. I want to talk about a couple things. Can you mm-hmm. wrap together resistance, confidence, and the creative process? Because those were
yes.
the three things that we were going to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. No, gosh, we can go on forever. I can't believe it's
And then I have
up.
a very important question. I have a, an important question I want to ask. I want to give you like 3 minutes at the end to answer that. So
okay,
let's do this
so stop
first.
Me. Stop okay. me if I talk too long. So resistance, confidence, and the creative process. Well, you know, I've already talked a little bit about resistance and sacrifice and mm-hmm. confidence being something that you get after you commit. So there's an easy step. We'll check those off the list for now. And the creative process is really an amazing process. And I think part of it is, again, going back to the same quote, is sitting down and doing the work to learn what your creative process is like. For me, as I was doing this album with this group, the guys that I worked with, they have a group called Farm in LA, F-A-R-M. They sent me through this amazing work where I had to go through and do research on my favorite artists and then sit down and rewrite my favorite songs into my songs. And so many things that I did. But I'll tell you right now that the creative process is something that you want to give yourself full and absolute freedom around. And when I say freedom, like, you need to make this space and the time the most perfect space and time that it can be for you when you can. So for me, I love to meditate for 15 minutes before I get into my creative zone. It's essential to me to just ground. You know, I light a little Palo Santo and a candle and I say a prayer. Mm-hmm. And the other piece of it that's really important for me and the freedom aspect is I allow myself to be creative without worrying about what it's for or where it's going to go. That was essential for me. Because as soon as I started worrying about who's going to hear this, how does this fit with the rest of my music, what is this for, where is it going to go, how am I going to market this, my creative process got stunted quickly and totally shifted when I started thinking about where and why. Mm-hmm. Versus just being an open channel. And I think the important thing to remember here is that it is not our job or we should not judge our own work. All we need to do is be open and let the creative process flow through us and show up and sit down and do the work. Because we are all unique. Every one of us automatically, by default, we are automatically unique, and we know this. And so the art that comes through each of us is going to be different. And so all we have to do is open up that channel frequently enough, and then don't worry about judging it, because this art is mm-hmm. uniquely yours. You know, it's uniquely yours. Just give it as a gift. And so that's kind of my 2-minute version of the creative process.
I love it.
That was helpful.
I want to have you back because we have a lot more to talk about with that. But if it shows up in our lives, we need to give it as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
It's meant
yeah,
to be shared.
Yep. Yeah, who else will?
Yeah, it's meant to be shared, and we're depriving the world of that thing that comes through only us when mm-hmm. we don't share it.
Exactly.
So very, very good. I want to have you back, and I want to talk with you about business, because that is something that can be a big thing for people who are especially artistic types,
mm-hmm.
And that's something that you juggle both very well. So I'm just going to give us a future date to have you back to talk more about that.
Great
piece. But here we go. If you could share, like, in 2 minutes, let's imagine that these are the last words of motivation that a person who's listening now or in the future to the show will ever hear. Last
wow.
words of motivation for their life journey. I know I'm kind of throwing this at you, but you mm-hmm. are up to this task. What would mm-hmm. you say to them as far as whatever they're doing in their life, it's going to require skill and struggle and a learning curve and discipline and patience and persistence. So can you speak to those things?
Mm-hmm. Okay, last words. So no pressure at all.
No,
I mean, you know, we close our eyes. When we close our eyes, we can see a life that we haven't lived yet. We can see the people we were born to be. And, you know, we spend our time so much sitting behind a computer, locked in relationships that bring us pain, you know, waiting for this future to appear, for us to finally start living this life that we can see when we close our eyes. We can see the places we want to travel. We can see the children we want to have. We can see the relationships that we wish we have, the stages we performed on so clearly sometimes, but they're all just a dream in our heads. And the key here to turning this dream into a reality is saying yes. And not just a half yes, is actually saying yes and committing to making that vision come true without even considering how it's going to happen. Because once you drop the how and the why and the what and you say yes, the how, the why, and the what appear in ways that are better than you could even imagine. And so when, for all of you here, just create that vision for yourself. What is it? And what do you need to let go of to make that happen? And how can you start getting yourself ready for when the how and the why and the what show up? And when they do, you'll see, just like I'm seeing every single day, that your dream that you see when you close your eyes is one that's in front of you when your eyes are open.
I'm glad we have that all recorded.
Me too. I don't really know how that came through.
Justin, thank you so, so much for being here with us today. I am guessing that listeners are just really grateful that they got to hear everything that came through today. You're just amazing. I'm so
grateful
for you.
Such an honor. Thank you.
Yes. So we will have a future date. I'm setting it. I'm going to ask you back on the show at some point. And
awesome.
Wish you well. I'll let our mailing list know when your album and your video come out. I'd love to let
Thank
people
you.
Know. So that'll come through in our newsletter at Singing for Your Soul. So many blessings to you, Justin. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Bye.
Bye.